Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Solomon is dedicating the temple, chapter 8, verse 1. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and chief fathers and children of Israel to King Solomon in Jerusalem that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which was in Zion. Therefore all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. They brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting. So that's Moses' temple has been unfurled and unrolled, and that's coming in as well. And all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle were roughly 600 years before the events we're reading about. The priests and the Levites brought them up, and King Solomon, verse 5, and all the congregation of Israel were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for their multitude. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. Verse 8, and the poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place, in front of the inner sanctuary, or the Holy of Holies, but they could not be seen from the outside. Verse 9, nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone, that would be your commandments, of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, which is to say Mount Sinai. Now, you might want to scratch in your margin there, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. And that's where the writer says, I know what was in there when Moses closed up the lid of the ark. Yes, there was the tablets of the commandments, but you remember what else was in there? There was a jar filled with manna, some of the manna that God had given the children of Israel every morning, and also Aaron's rod that budded. So what happened to those two things? The commandments are there, the word of God is there, but interestingly, the jar of manna and Aaron's former walking stick, they're no longer there anymore. Question, where are they? And the answer is they're infernally in a safe. No, they're not really. Well, to be fair, that was 600 years in front. Perhaps maybe they just crumbled to dust after a while. Could be, or they just might have been lost. Remember, every dotting of the I, every crossing of the T of scriptures is God-breathed. And whenever the Spirit leads the writer to mention some statistic or some detail, perk up and listen and keep your Jesus glasses on. What was left? God's Word. What was gone? The miraculous. We're always seeking the miraculous, amen? We're always wanting to live in the supernatural. But I want you to notice something. Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's a little mini model right there. When all the whees and the oohs of the miraculous aren't there, what should always be there? The word of God. Verse 10. And it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud, that's the Shekinah glory, you guys. It wasn't just a pillar only. It would seem that it reached a certain altitude and then spread out, if you'll pardon the expression, like a parasol, like an umbrella. And it was easy to know when it was time to move in God's will, because then the Bible says that the cloud was taken up. It lifted up and then it just moved. And one of the ways you could figure out where the moving of the Lord was stay in the shadow. Stay where it's cool, because out in that desert, it's hot. And so sometimes when the cloud would move and you're all, I don't want to move. I like it right here. I dug all my garden. I'm not moving. Ooh, it's hot. God says you can stay there if you want, or you can hang out under the shadow. Verse 11, so the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. If you have an old King James, that verse at that section reads that the priests could not stand to minister. And I've heard certain charismatic teachers say, you see there? There's a case for when the Spirit of God is so prevalent, so poured out, so present that they couldn't stand up. But that's not actually what the word means. That's the Hebrew word, ahmad. And it means to remain, to endure, or to abide. Bible students, this is not saying that these priests were overpowered by the presence of the Lord and they fell off of their feet. Why are you making that point? It is the estimation of some that one of the evidences of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is that one might be slain in the Spirit. That is to say, they'll literally sort of succumb, I suppose, and be overwhelmed to the point that they can't physically stand up, or slain in the Spirit. And the reason I want to bring that to our attention is because I want you to know something. When the Spirit of the Lord is poured out, that occasion, whether it be an afterglow, whether that be a prayer time, a worship time, I know that it is the culture of some to feel that sense of being overwhelmed. But I want you to remember something. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's going to be the fruit of the Spirit. That's in Galatians chapter 5. That the works of the flesh are evident in these, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and, say it louder,
self-control.
Now, why do I say that? I remember when I was introduced to the notion that spiritual gifts were real and present. Excited on the one hand, but there was a little part of me that said, well, what's the Spirit going to do if He overwhelms me? Am I going to start running around? Well, what else is the Spirit gonna overwhelm me to do that I don't want to do? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, they're the same God. As it were, in three different sort of uniforms, or if you will, three different manifestations. Will the Holy Spirit be anything that Jesus is not? No. Did you ever see Jesus overwhelmed to the point where he could not stand? He didn't have volitional control of his limbs or his words. Did you ever see that? Do you ever see that in the Gospels? Like when you want to get your gift of tongues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's clearly explained, well, I want to speak in tongues. Well, what is tongues? Have you ever noticed that sometimes you don't have the words to say, to express the deep groanings of your heart? Well, God gives you ability to sort of go past the limitations of the English language. And then the Bible says, you will pray, my mind is unfruitful, but my spirit prays. Right. How do you do it? It has been explained to me this way. Well, you're going to sit in this chair, we're going to anoint you with oil, we're going to lay hands on you, and then we're going to pray in tongues. And then what will happen is, you'll just feel the overwhelming presence of the Spirit sort of well up, and suddenly, like an overflow, it'll just tumble right out of your mouth. And I thought to myself, so who's in control at that moment? Here's what Paul says. I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with my mind or my intellect. And the Greek allows for this. with my will, my sober-minded, full volitional conscience, I will to pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? I tell my lips and my tongue, you will speak things that your brain will say, this is weird. How do I speak in tongues, Pastor Steve? Here's how you do it. At any time, in any location, you don't need people laying hands on, and you don't have to feel the Spirit kind of and pop right at the top. That's not how it works. Here's how you pray in tongues. You literally say, I will to use weird vocabularies because I'm just sort of doing that as my spirit is praying. You don't have to wait to be overwhelmed by a feeling of God's presence, and so you're sort of kind of floating away, as it were, in the current of His presence. Because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, certainly there is liberty, which is to say freedom, but the Holy Spirit will never behave Himself in a way that Jesus didn't behave Himself. Does that make sense? So what about being slain in the Spirit? And I know that many people who have had those experiences, they say, something truly overwhelmed me. What was it? I don't really know. Those of you who are believers, in the early 1990s, there was a significant presence on television and radio, Dr. Larry Lee out of Texas. And he had some rather startling videos of his times when he would invite people to come up, and he would lay hands and just touch people's head, boop, and they'd go down. Boop, 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 like that. And that was about a time when I was like, I want everything that this Bible has for me, and I don't want to miss a drop. Not a drop. I booked a flight and went to a conference where Larry Lee was speaking. And so he said that this large auditorium was probably seating about at least 4,000. And he said, who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, I had believed that I already had. How? Because I asked to be filled with the Spirit. Remember what Jesus said about that? When a son asks his father for food, is he going to give him a snake? No, says Jesus. How much more your heavenly Father will give to anyone who asks of what? Of the Spirit. I had asked the Spirit to fill my life many years in front of that, but I didn't want to miss a thing. How many of you want to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues? And I raised my hand in that large auditorium. Well, come on down to the stage. So I went running down there, and there I was in a line. That stage was huge. And there had to be, I don't know, 50-ish or so people. And he started at that end, and then there they started going like dominoes. Boink, 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 boink. Here he comes to me. And I'm like, Lord, I know that you're fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. I'm not going to contrive. Lord, if this is real, I flew all the way to Texas to the man who's got the power of the hour right there in his hands. And he came, and this guy fell, and that guy fell, and now it's my turn. And Larry Lee, who was a little shorter than me, he looked right at me, swear, and he went like this. Well, praise God, brother. And he passed me by, and the guy on this side fell down, and that guy fell down. And this huge old stage, I'm the only one standing up, and I'm all... Then I came home, and I searched the Scriptures, and I searched the Scriptures, and I searched the Scriptures. The only time when I see people literally losing their balance, their equilibrium, and falling down beyond their own volition, I can only find one occasion. It's when they came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember that? There were some Roman soldiers there, and there was a contingency of the temple guard, the temple police. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And what did he say? I am. The Bible says they all fell over backwards. Some people like to look at the Apostle Paul when he fell off of his horse. The Greek there is not quite as defining as the Hebrew is in this instance, but it is my assumption and my studied, calculated understanding of Scripture that when the Spirit of God moves, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. And loved ones, I'm taking some time to go into that because in these last days, I tell you, it's getting There's a lot of stuff you can access on YouTube. So Pastor Steve, are you saying you guys are not charismatic? Charismata comes from the word charis, which means gifted. Do we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit here? What's the answer? We absolutely do. And 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. We've studied those. We need to be well taught, brothers and sisters, so that when anything presents itself to us, we can be like the Bereans. We can be open to whatever God wants to do, but we're going to go home that night, if not that afternoon, and we're going to search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. One of the prophecies in the book of Thessalonians is there's going to be a great falling away. The word is apostasia. So there's going to be a great falling away from the truth, and that word can also be understood as a great taking away. What is it, Pastor Steve? Right before the Antichrist is revealed, is there a falling away from good doctrine, or is there a taking away of the saints out of the world? I think it's both. And if you're looking around and if you're sensitive to it, the apostasia has been happening for quite some time. May we be well taught in the Scriptures. And that's why I wanted to spend a little bit of time in this little section. And it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house. What cloud? The Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory. Is there any more model of the presence of Holy God than this scene? Then watch what happens to the priest, verse 11. So that the priest could not ahab. They could not remain, endure, or abide there. So they used their feet to move aside. I know that's not popular for some, and not everybody agrees with me, but for your consideration. Let's keep cruising. Verse 12, and then Solomon spoke. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, and D. We know what that word is, right? That's the I am right there, you guys. That's the four Hebrew characters, also called the Tetragrammaton. The Lord, Jehovah, said he would dwell in the dark cloud. King James says a thick darkness. The Shekinah glory, I don't believe, is dark. I think once its appearance casts a rather large shadow, I believe is what's saying here. Solomon's saying, you guys, you checking out this Shekinah glory? Do you notice how it goes up in a pillar and then spreads out over us? Just like our ancestors, 600 years ago. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. Again, where is the presence of the Lord, you guys, manifested at this moment? Directly in their midst and overshadowing them. How many of them are standing of their own volition? You know, every couple of years it goes out, hey, have you heard about this and such outpouring? And this and such blessing. And invariably, people flock from all over the planet to come there. You begin to hear some of the details. The worship is outstanding. People are getting slain in the Spirit all over. And then pretty soon, if it goes on long enough, you begin to hear other sort of manifestations. Uncontrollable laughter. Why are you laughing? I can't stop. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness. Do you see why that's important? People are even making animal noises. And I'm not saying that they aren't sensing something profound. There's a lot of things in this world I don't know, but there's a couple things that I know for certain because God's Word says so. Self-controlled, it'd be one of them. And I say, well, I don't think that was God. And they're like, well, what do you mean it wasn't God? And then they tell you their experience. I was completely overwhelmed by such and such and such and such. And I say the same thing. There's a lot of things I don't know, but there's a few things I do know. I'd know that that's not God. Well, who are you saying that it is? I don't know. You're saying that it was the enemy messing around, and I'm saying it could be. Don't you know that when there's worship and the Word and the holy presence of the Lord that Satan cannot enter? How many of you have ever heard that? Refer them to Job chapter 1. In heaven, the angels came before the Lord. And one of them was who, you guys? Lucifer. Don't tell me that Lucifer doesn't have access to holy things of God. He has access to heaven. Very likely, Lucifer is not in Reno Sparks. He may not even be in Washington. You know where the Bible says he spends most of his time? In the presence of the Lord, doing what? Accusing the brothers. So may we never be duped. A manifestation of the Holy Spirit is here. Great. We pray for that. But if the Lord does show up and bona fide miraculous visits us, I want you guys to be prepared, Harvest family. If the word gets out about bona fide actual healings, the walls won't be able to contain all the people who will rush and throng into this place. There won't be a place to sit. That's good, right? Well, I don't know. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that grows so huge that birds roost in the branches. And if anybody knows mustard seed, that's an herb that doesn't get very big. It becomes unusually large. And the larger the group of humans, the easier it is for the enemy to bring people that are designed by the devil to bring destruction, distraction, and confusion, because that's what he does. Since 1981, when I showed up here in the Truckee Meadows, we've been praying, oh God, please, one more move of your Spirit. Sometimes God's graciousness just pours out. And revivals don't happen because the band is snappy or the orator is particularly skilled. It doesn't happen because of programs and all kinds of cool slamming things happening at 350 South Rock Boulevard. True revival, check it out for yourself, begins when a few people are so broken because of their sin and they pour out. Good night, everybody. Have a nice time. We'll see you on Sunday. Only some people don't leave. They stay in the chairs and they just begin to cry and to weep for God. The Azusa Street Revival began after a prayer meeting one time. A young man comes to the front of the sanctuary after the pastor was done. And the pastor asked the young man, anything I can do for you, young man? He says, no. And he just began to weep and he began to cry and call out for God, had the audacity to name his sins right out loud. And somehow that got on a couple people. And then there were two at the front. And then there were four. And it wasn't because of the skilled oration, the elocutionist style of a professional speaker. The Spirit of God showed up. And they couldn't not leave without fully pouring out their heart to the Lord. And then a spontaneous prayer session broke out there in Southern California, 1906. And then the prayer night went on into the early hours and the wee hours of the morning and continued to the next day. Now instead of four, there were 12, 20. Now it's time to go to work. Some of them did go to work. Some of them didn't. Then it was 40. And then it was 60. Not orchestrated really by anybody.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.